There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this morning, I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Mary Meyer. Mary, good morning. Welcome to February.
Oh, wonderful, Denny. I'm very happy that January is over and we're into February and longer days and more gardening coming up.
I guess all we need is, I shouldn't say all, that snow. I mean, when you think about Houston, Texas, and Florida, and here we sit. I can see my lawn. The plus is, I mentioned it last week, I can do more dormant seating, I think.
This is true. That's right. But the snow, really, we do miss the snow. It's a wonderful protection for many of our plants. So maybe this afternoon or maybe this coming week, right?
And keep in mind, this is February 1st. So we've got February and March.
We have a ways to go.
Absolutely. Well, we welcome our listeners to call or text any lawn or garden question, please. At 651-461-9226. And if you're a regular listener to the show, we tend to get a little busy rather rapidly. So don't wait. We'd love to hear from you. Either phone in your lawn or garden question to Mary or send a text, whichever is easier. 651-461-9226. I was going to ask you, and I'll do that in a moment, here we are kind of in the doldrums. Getting ready for spring, I'll find out what's going on with you and your garden. And, of course, at the Arboretum, I want to talk about the flower show coming up.
Yes.
But here's a text from a listener just came in. I have a Norfolk pine tree that was too big for my home that I transferred to a large atrium area at my work. I'm still taking care of it, and it appreciates the open space and light. I'm wondering about appropriate fertilizers for this tropical pine, and should I fertilize it now or wait till spring?
Well, I would probably wait till spring, unless you see a lot of new growth on it. Norfolk Island pine is actually quite an amazingly easy plant to grow indoors. It has a tolerance for a kind of medium or light conditions. It loves high light conditions, and it's amazing how big they can get. But I would say if you see new growth on it and shoots coming out of the top and the lower leaves getting longer and longer, if it's actively growing, you can fertilize it, yes. But most of the growth, I think, will take place during our summers when the days are longer, the sun is brighter. So I would definitely consider fertilizing it in the summer, but only if it's actively growing in the winter. And then I wouldn't do it as often in the winter because usually it's light that's the limiting factor, not fertilizer.
I bet you it loves that new location.
Yeah, spreading out. This is a big plant. It can get wide as well as tall. Yeah.
Well, I know during the winter months, we talk in the show a lot, and you've mentioned it too, that reading seed catalogs. What else can a gardener or wannabe gardener do this time of year?
Yeah, seed catalogs is certainly something. I'm getting ready to place my seed order. Many people have probably already done that. But I was reading recently about garden trends. You know, as the year changes, we talk about, last time we talked about resolutions, things to do in your garden. But gardening trends, it's interesting to note what is popular now with gardening. Some of the things that are popular are edible perennials. And I know Julie has worked a lot and talked a lot about edible perennials, but things like blueberries or the service berries, rhubarb, horseradish, things like that. We're thinking a lot more about putting edible perennials into our landscapes around our home. So that's a trendy thing. Another one I was reading about is water storage. You know, we have such fluctuating rainfall conditions now that if you can put rain barrels or some type of water storage, water holding capacity, think about the water that comes off any roof or garage that you have. Try to capture that water so you can use it on your property. So things like that are very helpful when we're not sure about the rainfall.
Mary, when you interesting a topic about the collecting rainwater off the roofs and through our gutters, is there any kind of a filtering system in these barrels or what?
I would think so. Yeah, there's usually a screen that's on the barrel so that, other things don't start living in there that you don't want. So a screen on the top or the bottom where it comes out. But there are many different types of rain barrels. And surprisingly, the limiting factor is usually the size of the rain barrel. I mean, because there's a lot of water will come off our roofs, and so it's easy to fill a rain barrel quickly. And so you once you figure out how much you need, the size you need, it's usually going to be bigger than you think. But then if you have a spout that comes out the bottom, or you can, release the water that's in there, you can use it to water right there where the rain barrel is sitting. Or then you can capture it and use it elsewhere.
A water-related question from a listener. I hear you, meaning us on the radio, talking about not using soft water. Why is that?
That's because the salts that are in soft water, that makes it feel good and nice for us. But salts can really accumulate, especially with houseplants. It really varies what houseplants you have. I have citrus, lemons, and a calamondin orange, and they don't seem to be too bothered by the soft water. But other plants are much more sensitive. Many of the narrow-leaved dracaenas and so on, they tend to be more sensitive to softened water. And so ideally, you don't use softened water. You'll have some other faucet or an outlet, some other location where you can get water that's not soft. But for houseplants especially, it can be an issue because of the salts in the water.
Salts, okay. Yeah. Thank the listener for that. Another text says this, when is the best time to plant golden raspberries?
In the springtime. Yeah, the golden or the yellow raspberries are very nice. Raspberries, one fruit that we can grow easily in Minnesota. There are many different kinds of these now. But I would think about planting those in the spring. You can find raspberry plants, starts, often in a plastic bag growing in many garden centers in the springtime. Sometimes you can buy them actually already potted up in gallon containers or quart containers. But, yeah, in the springtime is the best time to plant those. And mail order, you can also get these plants through mail order nurseries. And there you have to really be aware of when they come and then plant them as soon as you get them.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break, Mary, so hang on. Let's invite our listeners to join in here on our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226. By the way, sponsored by Great Garage Floors, and they've got some great videos, Great Garage Floor does. You can check them out at their site or your social media. Great Garage Floors is our sponsor here on our Smart Garden Show. Stay with us, News Talk 830 WCCO. Yeah, check out their videos as well. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on the first day of February. Denny Long here along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota answering those lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text as usual. 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Mary, that, oh, this is it. We were talking about the catching water from the roof. We were told, Texter says, you cannot use water you catch from a roof for edible gardens, only flowers. I didn't hear that before.
Yeah, so that's interesting because I have not heard that either. So I assume that there is some source saying there's something wrong with the water that comes off your roof, that it would have chemicals or minerals that would affect food.
Sometimes there may be the granules from asphalt shingles that are, you know, coming
yes.
into the gutter and then there. That's the only thing I can think of.
Right, that would come off. So, yeah, so I guess I would think about straining that water or something like that. I can look into that and see if I can find any recommendations about water testing. But what would you actually be testing for? And when you get into testing water with complicated minerals, etc., it can be very expensive. So to my knowledge, with most homeowners and the amount of rainwater versus the chemicals they're in, that usually it is okay. But yeah. I'll see if I can find any more information.
But what a great source for watering. And like you said, a lot of rain can come through those gutters. There's a general question about is it too soon to prune trees? What's the rule of thumb for any kind of trees this kind of time of year?
This is a good time to do a lot of pruning. There's some pruning webinars that are coming up for fruit trees that my colleagues in Extension are doing now this month in February, because this is the traditional time to prune apples and pears. But many of our trees can be pruned at this time of year when they're dormant. It's a good thing to do. As we move into the spring, the trees that are notorious for bleeding or the sap runs with the maples, you will start to see the sap when you do pruning when it gets a little bit warmer. That's really okay, and the tree will stop that flow of sap. But now it's a good time to do pruning.
All right, very good. Call us or text us with any kind of a lawn or garden question that's on your mind, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, good morning. We have two raised gardens. All right, this has just jumped. We're getting more as we read here. 24x8. Last season, our tomatoes had black leaves, a fungus. Should we clean out the old soil and replace it? And will the fungus, you think, be in the cedar wood as well?
Well, the best thing to do when you have disease problems with tomatoes, which were really quite bad last year for us, is to clean up all of the debris left over from the tomato plants, the leaves and so on, any other fruits, etc., to practice very good sanitation. So you remove anything that's diseased from the garden. There are diseases that can perpetuate in the soil. So ideally, if you can move or rotate your tomatoes and put them in a totally different area, that's great. If you can put them in containers with different soil where they haven't been growing before, that's another option that you can do. So rotation and cleanup are the best things. And then really good sanitation when the plants are growing to try to keep them off the soil. If you can use a mulch like clean straw, that's good, or stake the plants up. And then space them far enough so they get good air circulation around them. So if you can, move them. But if not, try to keep them as clean as possible.
Very good. Texter says this, good morning. I planted my garlic on October 21st. I know that was late and it didn't grow before it froze. Is it still going to grow this coming spring, do you think?
It's worth a try. we had nice weather into the fall, and I planted some garlic in the fall. I'm trying to remember, when did I plant that? So I think, yes, we should just wait and see, because garlic is, that's the season to plant it in the fall, and hopefully it will come.
All right. I'm looking at a text that kind of meanders through about five different paragraphs. Let's see if I can piece it together. I had a beautiful ornamental Norway pine in my backyard. It looked funny, so I went out and looked at it. And the rabbits have eaten every branch to the trunk of the tree, 2 feet up, all around. Is there anything I can do that will help the tree regrow those branches?
That's difficult with pines. That is really, that's the devastating thing with small animals, because small animals can do so much damage, or deer can. Animal damage is so devastating because it's so so extensive and so rapid that it happens. So, you know, depending on where the branches are on the pine tree, they may or may not come back. If they're kind of on the outside and exposed to light and get a lot of sun and light, the buds might break on those, but if they're down underneath and kind of hard to get much light with pines, it's not very good. But the best advice is really just wait and see. Wait and see how these plants develop once the growing season starts, and then you can decide if they look too strange or you can't prune them to look good.
All right, very good. We need to take a quick break, and we're going to have a look at that forecast, see what this coming week's weather promises. We'll do that. We'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden show to go. So call us or text us with your lawn or garden question for Mary Meyer at 651-461-9226. And check out those videos from Great Garage Floors, our sponsor of this particular show. We'll be back after the weather on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Yeah, we thank Great Garage Floors for sponsoring our Smart Garden Show every week. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions this morning, here on this first day of February. Mary, we mentioned briefly when we opened up the show about what might be going on at the Arboretum. I know there's a flower show coming up. I'm really anxious to check
yes.
that out.
It opens today, Denny.
Today.
Yes, a wonderful flower show is open. I saw most of it yesterday. They were still putting the final touches on. But, yes, of course, it's really beautiful. A huge number of plants to see that are in the show. And this year they have some new things. They have floral designers. Every week will feature a different floral designer. And some days they will be out there in person doing designs, but even if they're not, you can see the designs that they have made each week. So that's a nice feature. They're birds and botanicals. So there are some ceramic birds that local artists have made, and the artists will be there certain days for special events. There's some wonderful water fountains or indoor water displays that are there to see. And just many, many flowers, lots of orchids. There's a mushroom display. And there are lots of botanical weavings that are hanging from the beams of the Oswald Visitor Center. So lots of things to see. And the library has a fairy garden exhibit that when I was in there, there were tons of kids walking around and looking at the fairy gardens in the library. So lots of things to see at the Arboretum. You do need a ticket or if you're not a member, but otherwise the flower show is free to members or free to anyone who gets a ticket. It's included with admission at the Arboretum. And when I look today, the admission tickets are wide open, so you can go today or tomorrow, any day during the week. And the show goes through mid-March, so all of February and into, I think it's March 15th or 16th, so into mid-March. So a great thing to do for thinking about gardening and getting a great dose of green plants.
And I'm glad to hear that there are kids there, too. That's,
yes, there are kids
get them exposed.
Yeah, kids have free admission to the Arboretum. It's under,
oh, that's good to
think,
know.
Under 16. Yeah, kids are free. So, yeah, we certainly welcome kids there to see the plants and have a good time. There are special events along with the flower show. There's teas. You can go and have a tea at the flower show. There make and take fairy garden workshops. I mentioned the artists that will be there, so, and special classes. So check that all out. It's on the Arboretum's website.
Yeah, and you can have a bit of lunch there, too. As well.
Yes, you can have lunch. The Rootstock Cafe, I had a delicious currants and squash and kale salad yesterday. Mm. Oh, it was delicious. So, yes, the Rootstock Cafe is open with some of the special events as well.
So lucky to have the Arboretum. Wow.
Yes.
All right, texter says this, Mary. Good morning. What is the best way to care for a potted fern? I have not had one before. Love the show. Well, thank you for that.
Oh, potted ferns are a lot of fun, and they can be beautiful indoors in your house. They need medium to higher light conditions, especially in the wintertime. And then they actually can take quite a bit of water. So you want to water them till the water comes out the bottom of the pot. So maybe to put them in the sink when you water them. Ferns often, when they acclimatize to lower lights in our homes, will drop some of their foliage. So you might see some of the foliage turn yellow or brown or just simply drop off, but that's pretty much normal for ferns.
Okay.
And Denny, I did look up the rain barrel safety. Yes. So I found two extension services, Connecticut and I think it's Alabama, Arkansas, that had written up information, bulletins on rainwater. And collecting rainwater. So there might be contaminants in your rainwater from your roof, from the shingles, with minerals that might come in there. There may also be contaminants from E. coli, from fecal matter, squirrels or anything like that. So to be 100% safe, rainwater should not be used on edibles. I think that's one of our smart listeners alerted us to. So the safest thing is not use them on edibles. If you do use them on edibles, make sure that the water goes into the soil and not on your plants, and especially leafy greens. So if you had contaminated water and you watered on top of your leafy greens, that would be a way to contaminate them. But if you put it in the soil, it's less likely to be a problem. And then 100% safety, just use that for perennials, your lawn, trees and shrubs, things like that. But overall, it's a relatively low risk. And then the one other precaution is putting a solid container, a cover, on your rain barrel. So I talked about a screen for things to, you know, eliminate some things, but really better yet is a solid cover. And many rain barrels come like that so that bird droppings and things don't fall into it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for checking that. That's most interesting. I'm glad our listeners brought that
to
our
It's
our
still
attention.
Very worthwhile to collect the rainwater or at least direct where your downspouts are going so that you take advantage of that. Yeah.
If you have a lawn or garden question for Mary, by all means, call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Here's another one. The deer have eaten my spirea bushes to the ground in front of our house. Will they come back, do you think?
If they're old established plants, they probably will. Yes. That's if they're healthy and we're good. Yes, I think they will come back. So spirea is a pretty tough plant, even the dwarf ones, the smaller ones, the bigger ones. Yes, deer can be, amazingly destructive.
Oh, big time. Trimming low branches on cedar and oak trees, can it still be done or should I wait until the temps drop below 20?
You can still do that. Yes, you can prune your evergreens now through the winter. They are in more dormant than actively growing, and yes, that won't be a problem.
Mary, this listener sent this text. Would covering my raised beds with black plastic before the growing season kill any tomato plant diseases?
Probably not. It's, you know, the black plastic heats up and can kill a lot of weed seeds and other things. It might kill the tomato diseases in the heat of the summer when things get really, really hot. That's called solarization, that the sun's heat kills a lot of things in there. But probably not. Only when it's really hot will that work. And even then, it's not guaranteed for killing diseases, just really weed seeds.
Okay. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Here's another one. I have one spot, another plant question, to plant tomatoes. Have been growing them there for 60-plus years. How can I rehabilitate this space?
Wow. So I would say with organic matter, compost is home compost or purchase compost, organic matter, chopped up leaves, grass clippings. You know, grass clippings are a great source of nitrogen and organic matter. So building the soil with organic matter is probably the best thing that you can do. The only other alternative would be to use a container. You know, get some commercial potting soil and completely change the soil that the plants are growing in and just use a container. But if for 40 years, wow, you know, and you're still getting tomatoes, so just keep up with the organic matter.
Let me double check that. I think the listener said 60 plus years. Wow.
Oh, my gosh, even more. That's wonderful. Yeah,
I should say.
Staying healthy with tomatoes, right?
Indeed. Let's see. Papa, we're getting the same. Okay, here it is. Late last fall, texter says, I brought in a few herbs to try to grow over the winter. Now, several months later, and all of a sudden, I have a lot of tiny gnat-like small flies or bugs that I believe are coming from the dirt I brought in.
Yes.
Is there any way to treat this soil to stop the bug infestation in my home?
Well, these are fungus gnats, which is the common insect that we see now this time of year. And they are from the soil. And these small little insects live as larvae or maggots in the soil. And then they hatch out. And then that's when we see them. So moist soil conditions is what they like. So if you can keep your plants on the dry side, that's helpful. If you put a layer of sand over the top, they don't like that. And that's another drying condition that they have. There are yellow sticky cards that you can buy at garden centers that will trap the adults. And then there are other ways that you can trap the larvae with slices of potato, believe it or not, in the soil itself. The larvae love to eat potatoes. They collect on that, and then you can throw the potatoes away. So it's a way you can manage the larvae. But we have a lot of this information online at extension.umn.edu, and fungus gnats is what they are, very common. You know, they're usually a nuisance thing, especially if they're flying around and you think they're going to be a problem. They're more of a nuisance. And as long as you just have a few of them, they're not too damaging for plants, but easy to control and lots more information online.
I'm glad you brought that up because we like to do that from time to time, but it's such a great resource. If you have never checked it out, please do so. extension.umn.edu. There's so much great information, especially, you know, this time of year, the weather's not exactly pleasing you.
Sit back, relax. The Yard and Garden News is published year-round, so there's always new things on there. There's information about managing the wildlife to try to keep them from eating your plants this time of year. There's lots of information that's up there. You know, Denny, another website I was looking at, I should know this, the Minnesota State Horticulture Society. They have a lot of things going on. But they have a community events calendar now up on their website. Now, this is, they should really put gardening, community gardening events up there, because these are all about gardening. But I was looking here in February coming up. Of course, they have the flower show on at the Arboretum. They have there's a class in Magic Gardens of Provence that is on Thursday. You can go to. There's lots of things online with webinars. The Hosta Society is having an event. There's a winter market at Bachman's. I mean, there's Laura Irish Hansen now. She does the show now also. Laura's having a seed starting class on February 10th. You know, so there's a lot going on. That's the Horticulture Society's community events calendar, but it's really gardening events, which we all love to read about.
I'd like to take that class from Laura.
Oh, I know. That's so fun. There's so many things to do. Now, Teresa, I think, is going to be on next week, Denny. Teresa Rooney is she is a wonder with her seed starting with the jugs, you know, the milk jugs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that is such a fun way to start seed. I've got to do that now. And when my grandkids come over the next time, we're going to be starting seeds in the milk jugs.
Going to have to talk with Teresa about that when she's on next week, for sure.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up. All right. We're going to take a real fast break here. Be right back on the other side with more Smart Garden Show, presented every week by Great Garage Floors. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions again today on this first day of February. And we have a bunch yet, Mary. Let's put you back to work here. Here is another one. I have, Dexter says, about 25 raised bed gardens, which I rotate beans, cucumbers, potatoes, several other vegetables. I fertilize with 10-10-10 early before planting in the spring. The last few years, I've been having problems with the green beans. They sprout okay, but shortly after die or later will tend to fizzle out. Those that do survive do okay and will produce beans. But any thoughts? The weeds seem to grow okay most of the time. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a good idea to have a soil test and see what the nutrient levels are there. 10-10-10 is fine fertilizer to use. You probably don't need that much phosphorus. In many of our soils, the phosphorus is really in excess already. So, but lower phosphorus might be harder to find. But I would go with a soil test. The other thing with green beans is that they like the heat, and they don't do well in cool soils or cold soil at all. So if it's the soil has not warmed up really, you know, in the 60s or 70s, they're not going to germinate well, and they're slow to come. There are, of course, a lot of wildlife that like to eat green beans also, so they just come off and can totally remove the green beans. But I would start with a soil test and then make sure that when you do plant the green beans, it's very warm conditions.
Mary, this listener says rabbits are really bad this winter, chewing bark on a Peking cotoneaster hedge 1 foot from the ground. I mean, what? The answer is what?
The answer is try to put some type of obstruction around mechanical barriers. Really the best thing for rabbits. And they can, you know, their population tends to go in peaks and valleys. And so you can have a lot 1 year and not so much the next year. But if you know there are plants that they like, there's so many plants that they like. Mechanical barriers, some type of a fence is really the best solution.
This listener says, I don't remember what the name of my shrubs are, at least 15 years old, but they get small red berries. They needed to have a male and female plant nearby. The past few years, no berries. Why do you think that happened?
So these might be ilex or the that's the first one that comes to mind, the holly. It could be the weather conditions, you know, the extreme drought, or the plants are not growing well enough to have berries. They should be in full sun conditions. And I would consider, first thing, I would consider watering them to make sure that they have enough water. You know, through the fall, we had such drought conditions. Depending on how old these shrubs are, it still might be they haven't established and don't have enough food reserves to really produce the berries. So I would think about water first and then make sure they're in full sun conditions.
We have about a minute and a half to go, Mary. Let's see. Is there an app you prefer to identify plants? That comes from Lori. But what about the university website?
Yes, the university website does have a lot of pictures, and you can also send a picture of a plant to Ask a Master Gardener, and they'll be able to identify it. The app that I use, there's a iNaturalist that's free, and that's for plants as well as animals. Picture This is also one that I have that I use. The problem with these apps is if you don't know what the plant is, you might know it after the app says, but the app might be wrong, and then you don't even know if the app is wrong. But it will show you similar pictures on Picture This, and at least it's a start for you to try to figure out if that is what your plant is. So there's some free apps, not so good. Picture This is a good one.
All right. Excellent. Mary, thanks so much for the help. Always fun when you're on the radio.
Oh, and always a pleasure to talk gardening here.
And we'll hear Teresa next week, right?
Yes, I think Teresa's on for next week.
Very good. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much, Mary.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Mary Meyer from the U of M.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Them.